Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he said, this have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full, that my joy may remain in you. Is that what he says? Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. And he told us in John 14, 27, peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give, I give I unto you. Father, we thank you for giving us your peace. Everything that we have come from the Lord. Father, we worship and we adore you. Say, my word have I exalted above all that my name is. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The prophet of who said that what were found, I did it then. Say that word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Father, I want to say, your word is like fire in my bones. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. So your word is blessed. Quicken us again now. Say, David, quicken me by that word.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam, was hearty and was the heart, of the heart. The last Adam was the quickening spirit.
Amen.
The Lord himself from heaven. And he dwelleth in us.
He
the spirit of him that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in us. He will quicken our mortal body. By the spirit that dwelleth in us. What a wonderful mystery is that the same spirit that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead dwelleth in us. Help us to always take advantage, appropriating in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That which thou hast freely given unto us. Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, walking with God, amen. That is the subject, walking with God. Enoch was the first man described as walking with God in the Bible. Genesis 5:23-24. I will read that. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And it was not, for God took him. Very sketchy information about Enoch in the old Bible, but another profound one is in Hebrews 11:5. In the hall of faith, God's hall of faith, right? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we see by this, Enoch escaped the judgment of the flood. And this has a full sure implication for the end times, for some end time saints who will be translated to escape the end of the age judgment. There are many of them. It's already going on now in a way, including the great tribulation, the great and terrible day of the Lord, and even the battle of Armageddon. See? Some of the living things at this time, like Enoch, we escape all these things, under the cause we'll be walking with God. Now, not only he was said that way, he pleased God, Noah, the great grandson of Enoch, he was the great grandson of Enoch, because Enoch, Enoch begot Methuselah, right? And Elizabeth begot Lamech, and then Lamech begot Noah. So Noah was the great grandson of Enoch. And it's also said to have a walk with God, right? And he and his household were the only people in that generation that escaped the flood. Genesis 6, 8 and 9 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then verse 9 down the road, Noah was a just and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So this morning, talking by the grace of God. So those are explicit to have walked with God. There are many who also implicitly walk with God, but maybe I'm going to get one or two of them, in order to this one, as we go on this morning by the grace of God. Now, what does it mean to walk with God, really? Do you just put your head in the heavens and so on, that has to walk with God? Not really. Contrary to what many think, walking with God is simply spending time with God, listening to him, and obeying what he says. Amen? That's simple. That is walking with God, really. I want to see in the life of many of God, maybe the two of them in the Bible right this morning at the beginning of the Bible. So as they're walking with God, it's simply spending time with Him, listening to Him, and obeying what He says. We must understand that God is the source of our very life. So our walk with Him must be based on a very real, very down-to-earth concept, meaning spending time with Him, listening to Him, and obeying Him. Now, Noah very well demonstrated this concept of listening to God and obeying Him. Talk a little bit about Him this morning, see what He did and so on. And as God spoke to Noah, some very profound insights into Noah's relationship with God came into light. Number one, God revealed His plan to Noah, because he walked with God, right? God revealed why he was doing what he was doing. God gave him instructions. Noah obeyed that without questions at all. Number one, God revealed his plan to the righteous man called Noah. In Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 17 says, and behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. The Lord said, and told Noah, I told him his plan and so forth. Once God had given Noah the insight into the root cause of the problem, and God's plan to take care of the problem, He instructed Noah on what to do. Remember, spending time with the Lord, and then listening to Him, and obeying what He said. So in Genesis 6:14, the Lord commanded him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. He said, room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with a pitch. If you're wondering what a pitch is, like a coating, like a ceiling, sealed inside and outside, so that it's waterproof. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. God gave him instruction what to do. God did not give Noah some vague concept or instruction, but God gave him specific instructions, and Noah demonstrating the nature that the Bible says is righteous, immediately went about to do what the Lord instructed him to do. In verse 22 of Genesis 6, thus did Noah. See, don't forget, working with God involves you spending time with Him, listening to Him, and obeying what He said to do. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be saying that throughout the message this morning by the grace of God. So, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. So, working with God is simply spending time with God, listening to Him, and obeying what He says to do, like Noah did here, and so on, like that, you know. After Noah obeyed God, what happened? God explained to him why He has done, why He has chosen Noah. That's in Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation, the Lord said. So God testified that Noah was both righteous and accepted in the eyes of God. And that is a very, very important statement, because Noah was a single man on the face of the whole entire earth in that generation, that God found righteous enough to rescue from the for the coming destruction. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Noah's three sons were rescued, quite all right, but they were rescued not because of their own righteousness at all, but because of Noah's righteousness. This action of God is consistent throughout the Bible, actually. God wants to save His people and their family. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And don't forget in Joshua 6:25, even an allot who has heard that offered the God of Israel, how he has helped the children of Israel to conquer all the countries in their path. When he heard of it, he believed in the God of Israel. Amen. And it's an allot, you know, and something like that, you know. And let me read a testimony here in Joshua 6. And something like that, you know. God wants to save his people and their family. Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the allot, alive. And her father's household. And all that she had. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is what God will do for his people and so on. It is throughout the Bible. It is true that the Lord, from Genesis throughout the Bible, that truth is revealed and so on that, you know. Don't forget, even in Acts 16:30, you know, all know the story of the Philippian jailer and so on that, you know. Apostle Paul and Silas, you know, no matter how much they were bleeding, you know, they said at the back, at the midnight, singing aloud, all the prisoners had there, you know the story there and so on that, you know. When the angel of the Lord appear, and of course, the light shine in the dark dungeon where they were, and so on, that you know, and the chains fall off of them, and the Philippian jailer was afraid. In Acts 16:30, and they say, sir, yeah, the apostle, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I have, throughout the Bible, God is consistent about saving the God of the family, right? And they speak unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And that's in verse 2. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all, and all is straight away. Praise the Lord Jesus. I mean, Bible is the God of the family. Bible is by whom the family, all the family in heaven and earth, and you know it's named, right? So anyway, just ask by the way and so on, that you know. So let us continue, about Noah and so on. And don't forget, all we are talking about Noah now is because Noah walked with God, right? And all this wonderful experience that God, you know, gave him the key to take place and so on. The key to Noah's spiritual eyesight, the key to his righteousness, the key to his very survival, came from the fact that he constructed his entire life around the will of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bible says that the will of God shall abide forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be the name of the Lord. Anyway, he walked with God in such a profound manner that God found him alone righteous in this generation. Bible says. And the New Testament even shed even more light, you know, on Noah's understanding of the things of God. In 2 Peter 2:5, and God, and I put that in there, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we see from this scripture that not only was Noah a righteous man in his generation, a man who walked with God. By the thing I'm reading about him now, we're going to see the insight of what happens to you when you are walking with God, right? You know, a man who received revelation knowledge from God and acted on that knowledge. 120 years, this man preached the same message. Amen. Praise the Lord. He didn't quit. Praise the Lord. Even amongst the mockery and everything like that, he continued preaching because he knew a heart from God, because he was working with God and so like that, you know. Anyway, Noah also preached the righteousness of God to his generation. Yeah? And the Bible says he has found grace in the eyes of God. And that according to the Bible, made him righteous. So the righteousness that he was preaching was likely the same righteousness that he himself was practicing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, I don't want to be the beast in the kingdom of God. I don't want to preach something and then I'll be doing something else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, where I'm going is this. This shows us a principle of, of God's word that is always demonstrated. What is it? God does not bring destruction without first sending witnesses to speak for the righteousness of God, to warn the generation in danger and to preach the righteousness of God to them. So we should understand that by the grace of God, we are called to be those witnesses for our generation at the end time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's who you are as a church of God. So the Lord told us in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That tells you, wasn't talking to the 120 alone, or the 12 alone. He foresaw the generation of Christians to come, amen? Peter couldn't, he didn't come to America, praise the Lord. And or Germany or anything. So, he foresaw the end of the age, the Christian will be come. So, we are his witnesses. In the Old Testament, he said, ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, amen? So don't be ashamed of the Lord to witness and to talk to anybody who will listen. Even if they don't even listen, amen? Praise the Lord. He didn't say they are going to be converted, all of them, now in Matthew 24, verse 14, say this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, amen? Praise the Lord. He said you all believe it, so don't be shy, don't be intimidated, don't be ashamed when they don't listen to you. Just witness, praise the Lord. So we are God's witnesses for the end time and so on. That, when the flood was over, what happened? Talking about this man walk with God, the characteristics of those who walk with God, right? When the flood was over, Noah demonstrated again his keen understanding of God's nature and the reality that his righteousness came through the grace of God. He demonstrated that not my own righteousness, but of God. He built an altar to God to thank him for his salvation. Genesis 8:20. Those who walk with God, right? And Noah built an ark unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every fowl, and offer burnt offering on the altar. So teaching us, those who walk with God, right? When you are walking with God, you will remember to always thank him, like Noah did, and not forget all his benefits. As another one who walk with God, not especially said of him, but he was said to be a man after God's own heart, right? Praise the Lord. He was inspired to write to us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name, he said. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, forget not all his benefits, he said. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? And so on and that, So always, those who walk with God, we always about to give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a characteristic of those who walk with God, really, After the flood, God told Noah and his offspring to go fill the earth and replenish it. Know what happened? Those people and so on, they did not obey the Lord, you see. Rather, the entire world of that time gathered together near a place, Bible called Babel, a modern-day Babylon, or another called Babylon and so on, a modern-day Iraq, right? They gathered India. Build themselves a tower with the intention to fashion a way in which they will ignore the commandments of the Lord and stay in one geographic area. See, to be God. God said, go and replenish your whole heart, right? But they refused, And they want to be in one place and build a tower and so on. And to be in one place and so on. And of course, God confounded them and so on. They were scattered throughout the world anyway. Praise the Lord. You see?
Yeah.
Only a very few generations, later or after that event occur, only a very few generations later. A man in the same region of Babel, in the city called Ur, had a family and moved to Haran. That is in modern day Syria. Haran is in modern day Syria. The man was called by the name of Terah. And that is T-E-R-A-H. And they had a son, he's called Abraham. Talking about people who walk with God, right? Another man that walk with God, not said explicitly in the Bible, but I know this man followed God and so on, Anyway, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Look at the trend when you are walking with God. Anyway, out of your country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will speak a lot about this Abraham here, you know, raised money by God's grace. And I will make it, of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, the Lord told Abraham. And I can be using Abraham or Abraham, either way, the same man. He was changed to Abraham later, we all know that. Anyway, the Bible shows us that almost immediately, Abraham's life was changed. He became a man of, a man who heard from God, and he obeyed God. A man of integrity became. He became a man of God, a man who follows where God leads. Talking about, you know, working with God, right? Where God leads, right? Abraham, who had the son of an idol worshipper, you know, and so on, Terah was an idol worshipper. Joshua told us that later in the book and so forth, was radically changed by his encounter with God. He wasn't about to let that, experience stagnate and sit in his life. You see, he wants to move with God all the time. As I'm going to see him now, I'm going to do a lot of reading about him this morning and so on. Now, how many times Christians today have an experience with God and let that experience drive them for the rest of their life, never seeking a deeper revelation from God, never seeking a deeper relationship with God? It's all over the place. Just sit on whatever, they already got, as long as that, you know. Not Abraham. Their content, instead to feed off of yesterday's manner, glorying in the experiences of the past, of yesterday, even though God said, I will do a new thing, amen? Praise the Lord. See, you have to move on with God. Don't sit on yesterday's glory at all, you know. But Abraham seemed to understand that God is a God of today, even back then. That today is when he wants us to seek him, to pray and meditate and worship him. Back then, Abraham understood that. So, as soon as Abraham got into the land of Canaan, what did he do? God appeared to him again. Genesis 12:7. Like I said, I believe quite a lot about him this morning because he was a man that really actually walked with God, you know, after he was called and so on like that, you know. Genesis 12:7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. He built an altar again. Can you see the consistency of praising God in Abraham's life? You know, and so on like that, you know. The constant goal of those who walk with God is to see more. They want to hear more of God. They want to know more of God. They know, they want to enter a deeper relationship with God than the one yesterday. Even Apostle Paul, after all the exploits, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, amen? He sees on yesterday's glory, and he thought about the Bible that way. Those who walk with God, they want a deeper experience with God. So we see him right there. After a short while, a short time in Egypt, Abraham again went back to Canaan, summarizing many chapters in the book of Genesis here, where God had called him. And the Bible says, and Abraham called on the name of Jehovah there. That is Genesis 13:3. I read that again. Consistency. Always praising God. Always, often things to the Lord and so on. 13:3 of Genesis. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, coming back from Egypt and something like that, you know. He remembered, you know, and give thanks unto God. What the Bible is trying to tell us here in this place is that a man whose life was dedicated to prayer. It seems everywhere Abraham went, Abraham was praying. build an altar or calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everywhere you went, you just walk with God, right? No matter where you are at, don't forget Him now. Praise the Lord. See, that is what we are learning from here. Those who are walking with God, right? If spending time with Him, I keep on saying that. Spending time with Him, not only that, and listening to Him, and obeying whatever He tells you. So anyway, the first true test of Abraham's understanding of God, God's call and God's promises came in the 8th verse, of that same chapter 13 and so on. And a passage of scripture that shows Abraham had a profound understanding of both the promises of God and the nature of God. Abraham had lost, not what is left you, right? Had become so rich in livestock, and their husbands were having strife because the livestock were too numerous for the land to support. So I'm just paraphrasing a lot of scripture here. I'm bringing out some keynotes about a man that works with God, right? So there are characteristics of the nature that work with God. Now, 13:8 of Genesis. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Even in the New Testament we are told, the servant of the law must not strive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham knew that secret back then. We are commanded, the servant of the law must not strive, but must be gentle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so let there be no strife, he said, between your husband and my husband and somebody else, and the husband, for we are brethren, he said. Verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, for me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the left and to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So we recall that what Abraham said, right? But we remember that God has promised that all the land to Abraham and not to Lot, amen. Everything was able for them. He gave it to Abraham, right? All of it. Not to Lot. Abraham could have thrown it to the face of Lot and said, could I say, look, God gave me this land and so on. Get out of here and go and find your own place and go bring your cattle there. He didn't say that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. The servant of God who works with God, they are gentle, amen. He was even manifesting the fruit of the Spirit right there ahead of time. Praise the Lord. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, praise the Lord. Long suffering. Even back then, when you walk with God, in our own time, the fruit of the Spirit, praise the Lord. Even back then, the same eternal God, right? And the same God was working with him and something like that. Anyway, so he didn't say that to Lord, nothing like that. But the profound impact of God on the life of on the life and nature of Abraham was evident in the way he handled the situation. He gave Lot his choice of the best land. Abraham didn't tell Lot what land he could take. He didn't say that. He believed God's promise and trusted that God will fulfill the promise, no matter what Lot did. So Abraham told Lot to take whatever land he wanted, and Abraham would take the leftover. Praise the Lord. Oh my, working with God, that's the kind of thing that will happen to you and so on, gentleness and so on. It cannot be overemphasized how important this lesson from Abraham actually is to us. He had received the promise from God, but he refused to seize it outside of God's timing. Amen. Praise the Lord. He received because he knew God. He has a profound knowledge of God because he was working with God. God had promised him the whole land. But through an incredible insight into the Spirit, he understood that if God had promised it, God was able to deliver what he had promised. Amen.
Yes.
Even concerning the wife, I'm going to that this morning. Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Romans, that's the Romans 4, down in there. I'm going to that direction this morning, but let's stay right here. Anyway, and though God had promised the land to Abraham, He gave Lot the choice of the best land because Abraham understood that God would not let anyone stand in the way of fulfilling a promise. God will bring this to pass. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lesson to us as to work with God. You know, that's the kind of thing, the characteristics that will be manifesting and so on like that, you know. In the very next chapter, I'm going through many things in the book of Genesis here to see, you know, the trend of people that work with God, right? In the next very chapter, Abraham again demonstrated that he had a profound understanding of the promises of God. And that the hand of man is powerless to deliver or constrain what God has promised. Amen? No man can stop what God has given to you if you lay hand on it and something like that, you know. So here, Lot was captured in a tremendous battle. And Abraham pursued. He didn't say, this man said the best land and so on. Abraham pursued those who have captured Lot, right? You know, and defeated the army, you know, that had enslaved Lot. On his way back now, the king of Sodom came out with an enticing offer for Abraham. So, in Genesis 14:21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. The offer was that Abraham could. In once, first two became so fabulously rich. If he has accepted it and so on and that, you know, maybe they contain, whatever the spoils of war were, maybe it could have made him so rich and so on and that, you know. The king of Sodom offers to let Abraham keep all the treasure, the spoil of war and so on. But Abraham, who is a man of prayer, a man who walked with God, wanted nothing to do with the king of Sodom's offer. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, when you are working with God, you have a different eyesight, the supernatural eyesight of God. That's what you get. Praise the Lord. You know, and Genesis 14:22, and Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord. Amen? He's always falling after the Lord, unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe lashes, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me to Anna, Esco, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So what are we seeing here? God has promised Abraham incredible blessings, right? And Abraham wouldn't let the king of Sodom claim that not God, but he that has made him rich. Amen. Praise the Lord. Many an average believer today, maybe an average Christian, you know, today, will definitely accept the offer of the king of Sodom, right? And then praise God that his word has been fulfilled through the king of Sodom. An average Christian will do that today, you know. Not Abraham. He had a deep insight by working with God, by spending time with God. And he didn't take it, you know, like many average believers will do today and so on like that, you know. Anyway, but what happened? So Abraham and so on, but Abraham understood through his relationship with God that the hand of man was not what could be Abraham's blessing. Instead, it would be a supernatural blessing. That's what he wanted. God was going to bless Abraham by his own hand, not through the generosity of the king of Sodom. So Abraham knew all those things and so on. He knew when it was coming his way, he didn't, because God said it, right? But he did not let that distract him from the fact that it was God who was going to make it happen. His eyes were firmly focused on God, and his goal was to glorify God through the fulfillment of the promise. Praise the Lord. And to walk with God, that is the characteristic, right? You know, Well, after he had rejected the seditious offer of the king of Sodom, in Genesis 15:1-8, I won't go to read that because it's a long verse here, but I paraphrase. Abraham had a vision during which he asked God exactly how the promises he made to him about inheriting the land will be fulfilled. This not only demonstrated that God wants us to speak back and forth with sin, people are afraid to speak with God today, or we speak one way. We speak to God, we don't wait enough to hear what he says back to us, right? We are always praying. Why don't you take the time to see what God is going to say to you? If you don't forget what I said, working with God is spending time with him, listening to him, alright? And then also, obeying him and so on like that, So anyway, this does not only demonstrate that God, so Abraham was asking God, how are you going to fulfill this promise by the land that you promised? How are you going to do it? So this only not only demonstrates that God wants a back and forth relationship between us. It also shows that God is more than willing to answer our questions, if only we have ears to hear. Praise the Lord. So anyway, Abraham, in the vision, summarizing it now, wanted to know exactly how God was going to fulfill the promise he had made to him earlier in Haran, in Syria, back there and so on. Many people today, superfluously afraid that if they even ask God question, God will just be angry with them, right? Not Abraham. He knew about of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he was working with God. Maybe God will be afraid of them and destroy them and so on. But God is not really looking for religiously perfect people. Not so. He is looking for people who will be honest with him. Don't forget at one point, if you keep my commandments, then I want to call you servant anymore. You're my friend, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone that was called a friend of God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See? Anyway, so when Abraham asked God how he will fulfill the promise, it shows that he had an understanding that God wasn't looking for a super spiritual people at all, or prayers from Abraham. God was looking for Abraham to talk to him. All God wants from you and I, is the same thing today, to be honest, and come to him as yourself, not as yourself quoted in religion. And the famous catchphrase we use in prayer today and something like that, of religion and so on. So anyway, come to him as yourself and as you are and so on like that, He wants to talk to you, he wants to have fellowship with you and so on like that, That was the Lord wanted. So God showed Abraham incredible things in the spirit. He showed him of the upcoming in that vision and so on. Upcoming 400 years, the seed of Abraham will be in bondage in Egypt. He showed him, I'm paraphrasing now, he showed him of his own longevity in that chapter, Genesis 15, I want to read the rest of them, his own longevity and so on, he showed him of the iniquity and the eventual judgment of the Amorites, all in that chapter, walking with God. Never know what vision will come, as you walk close to him, amen, praise the Lord. How he can show you things to come. Even Bible say the Holy Ghost, right, when he has come, right, what will he do? He will show you things to come too. Praise the Lord. Put you in remembrance of it that I've taught you. Amen. Are we listening enough to the Holy Spirit guidance and so on? That are we listening enough? We just talking and praying. Are we listening, taking time and so on? He will glorify me. The Lord said, the Holy Ghost will do. He guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. Working with the Lord and so on that, so we see. And so we see right there. And now let me see. There was nothing that Abraham did to qualify or prepare himself for this great, incredible visitation. Nothing at all, from God. He did not pray a special prayer to earn this thing. But just working with God, right? He didn't fast. A special fast to earn this, he simply made himself available to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is all it takes, brother and sister. Yeah, fasting has its place, prayer has its place. But making ourselves available to God is a different story, amen? Praise the Lord. Those things will come as you walk with God, and you make yourself available to Him and God. That's what He wants from us as well as in God. Anyway, so He was able to see into the spirit world, supernaturally, and discern the things to come as God showed it to him and so on. As Abraham walked with God, his relationship with God was even destined to grow deeper and more profound. And God increased the clarity of Abraham's vision. So was it then that God appeared to him in theophany and company of two angels. I've jumped to Genesis 18 right now. Can you see, as he walked with God, God appeared to him in the form of a theophany, in the company of two angels, Genesis 18. Let's read a couple of them. Genesis 18, beginning from verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the place of Mamre. And he sat, in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, the Bible says, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, that's one thing about Abraham. He walked with God. He knew that he saw three men, right? He didn't say, my Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Say, my Lord. He knew he was a prophet. Bible says God said he was a prophet, right? I'm going to tell you where God said that later down the road. So, say, my Lord, and so on. Anyway, my Lord, if now I have found favor in that sight, there are some people who render that place as if I won't go in that direction. Let's just stay with the revelation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. My Lord, if now I have found favor in that sight, pass not away, I pray thee, for thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest thy yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your heart. After that, ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. We know the story. Anyway, in verse 8, Abraham took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they did eat. Yeah, God ate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, God ate. Praise the Lord. I won't forget even Apostle Peter and so on. After his resurrection, Apostle Peter in the house of Cornelius, right? When witnessing to them in verse 41 of Acts chapter 10, he made a statement, that the Lord did eat and drink with them after his resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Theophany, when he climbed the flesh of Abraham, he ate and so on. It's God and so on. So anyway, so let's move on and so on. So then God again in Genesis 18:9. Then God again reiterates his promise to Abraham in verse 9. And he said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly, meaning without a doubt, amen, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent, which was behind it. Notice, the tent was behind the Lord, right? And Abraham and Sarah had it within. The Lord was backing the tent. And yes, Abraham laughed within the tent and so on. Right? So Sarah laughed, verse 12. Laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being also old? No, Sarah said and so on. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety, bear a child which I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter what we face, what I face, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just walk with him now, spend time with him, listen to him. and obey him. If anything you have for the Lord, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Whatever it takes to make that to happen, God will do it, amen. He is the creator. So anyway, verse 15 says, then Sarah denied that, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, the Lord said, but thou didst laugh, amen. Even though he was backing his head, praise the Lord. You think that God could have come to him anyway? So why was that? He is the Word, right? Know the Lord, he is the Word of God. He knows it. Let me just read about him. He knows what you are thinking, any place, any time, in any praise. Even now, praise the Lord. Bible said in the beginning, because he is the Word, right? He is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. We all know that scripture in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. But for things says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among God. We behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm saying is the Word. So therefore, what is the Word? What does the Word do among many things? We are told in Hebrews 14:12. Some of the things that the Word of God does. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What's this one? And of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir, I was back in the tent, but it's the Word of God, right? It discerns the intent, what you are thinking and so on. Many of the time in his ministry, he will tell them what the Pharisees are thinking. Praise the Lord. I will decide to something like that, He decides because it's the Word, right? Neither is there any creature, verse 13 of Hebrews 4, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. And don't forget now, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. Anyway, so just to cry back, but Sarah laughing and so on. And nevertheless, he forgave Sarah. Praise the Lord. He forgave Sarah. How do I know that he forgave her? Nevertheless, the Lord forgave Sarah. Not only did she have a son at the very time the Lord said she would, the Holy Spirit later testified that she had faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is in Hebrews 11:11. You see? Let me read that one to you. Through faith, this is the one who laughed behind the scenes. What God is the one who laughed, right? Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength, right? To conceive seed. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That it might come to pass that which was written. Even in Hebrews, we are told in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities we are remember no more. Amen. He forgave Sarah. Praise the Lord. And I can say that she has faith. Praise the Lord. He has no record of anything that you have done wrong. Much more if you have confessed. Praise the Lord Jesus. First John 1:9 told us all that story. We are told that if you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is always the same. Praise the Lord. So we see that there, we forget Sarah and so on. Anyway, and though God is reiterating his promise to Abraham in verse 16, they get into the second part of their journey, of their visit to Abraham, as we begin to conclude this message here right now. That is in Genesis 18:16. And the men rose up, don't forget two of them, to show us. And the men, if you read to 19, only two of them actually. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward the Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that in which I do? See, when you walk with God, and so on, he will reveal many, many things to you and so on. Anyway, that's how you do. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So, and this is a pattern that God used to tell the Bible. Abraham did not only walk with God, he was a prophet. How do we know? God called him a prophet. In the case of Abimelech, who took his wife, I tell you that in Genesis 20, I can't go all the way there, that king took, the king of Gerar, took Abraham's wife and so forth, Sarah and so on, and God warned him in a dream, you are a dead man. Better return the man, that man returns him his wife, amen? And if you look at, amen, that's right. So thank you, bro. So he says in Genesis 27, for he is a prophet, amen? So he was a prophet and so on like that, you know. So and God declared in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant the prophet. So going to verse 19 now, just complete this message and so on. For I know him, he knew Abraham, right? That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to know of him. So here God gives an incredible endorsement of Abraham, right? That is often overlooked by many people who read the Bible and so on. God said, I know him. So I know him and so on. So Abraham was known by God because he made himself completely available. I keep on saying that. Available to God, right? He has made himself God's servant, if you want to, totally trusting in him and believing that he will accomplish his promises by supernatural means, you know. It is another way that Abraham tied the elect. What do I mean by that? In this case, in Romans, because he said he knew Abraham, right? Of ourselves too, in Romans, it was a type of the elect, right? Let me read concerning ourselves too. Romans 8:28-30. How we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? To them, Bible says, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, you see that? He knew Abraham, right? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that you and I this morning, whosoever loved the Lord Jesus Christ and are washed in his blood and so on, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Praise the Lord. That's our portion. That's your portion as a Christian. That's my portion as a Christian. Praise the Lord. Why should we not rejoice, you know, seeing what he has said about us and so on? You know? So God continue writing this up here. You know, continue his almost casual conversation with Abraham in verse 20 of Genesis 18. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, and I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. What I want to say about that one is that, did God know about all those? He knew all about it, amen? He was saying that for Abraham's sake, you know, not for himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was saying that for Abraham's sake, not for himself. He knew all things. You know, if he knew that Satan was laughing behind at the tent, what is it to know what is happening in Sodom? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we see right there. So those who have a deep understanding or relationship with God are privy to his doings. I mean, he doesn't hide his sin from you. God speaks to them and gives them an indication of what he's about to do as we finish this morning. So, we saw it in Noah. We see how in Abraham and some of that, you know. So, Abraham, so we see that there. Okay, let's finish. When God said in verse 21, okay, I'm going to skip those ones. Yes, finish all this morning. Working with God is to spend time with him. That is the core of this message. People say walking with God doesn't mean we're going to be looking in the sky and just be walking. No. So walking with God is to spend time with him all the time. Listen to him and obey him. Noah walked with God and only him and his household survived the judgment of the flood. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One of these days, this world, and in darkness to this world by the bride of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we be gone, translated, breaking news, we say, and so on, so many people are missing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They have been mocking all these years and so forth. You'll be surprised. I've seen it many, many places. There are so many people in the Christianity. Don't even know there's a rapture coming. I'm telling you, I've seen it, I've heard it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? So anyway, so he revealed his secrets to his elect. Praise the Lord. Amen. They are carrying the Bible, but it's a closed book to them, in one way or the other. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But to the elect of God, he is making known to us. Just be, we should be just be shouting and be rejoicing. Whatever that is doing in your life, showing you his secrets. Anyway, so we see Noah there. He was a type of the... So Noah was a type of the 144,000 that will be protected during the Great Tribulation. You see? So that it was a type. And I'm going to finish with Enoch again. I begin with the two of them and finish with the two of them. Noah was a type, you know, of the 144,000 that will be protected during the Great Tribulation. Revelation 7:4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So there were Israelites, praise the Lord. There's no mixture in their God, so that it was specific. They were Israelites and so they will be sealed. The Gentiles, no second chance, amen? Praise the Lord. No second chance, anyway, so, and verse 9 says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, to show you that there are tribulations, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations, and their kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with a white robe, and a palm in their hand. 13th verse. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation. See? So the tribulation things, and so on, all of them, and so on. I mean, can I count them? So that, but like I said, Noah was a type who escaped the flood, a type of the 144,000 Jews or Israelites who will be sealed during the Great Tribulation. Many, if not all, will seal that testimony with their blood. Now, the last time, I want to see that. But Enoch, when Enoch walked with God, he escaped the judgment of the flood, like I said before, that wiped out all but only 8 souls, which I already read about and so on. He was a type of the Christians who will be translated and escape the Great Tribulation, not only that one, but the judgment to come. Talk about the great and terrible day of the Lord. Talk about the vile judgment and so on. All of those things, all that to Armageddon and so on. So Enoch typed all those things. Here is the text that I close with here. This is what is next for the elect, of God, in the God program that is presented by a great revival. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. As we are close here this morning, Enoch types that, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. In the presence of walking with God, spending time with him, and listening to him, I will close with this verse. He told us how to escape, how to be in that rapture. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. You see, it's our Father's, it's our Heavenly Father's, pleasure to give us the kingdom. But we must walk with him, spend time with him, as Enoch did, and watch and pray always, as he said. And then shall we be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Father, we thank you for all the lessons we learned this morning. Call Abraham your friend. And we know how he lived and everything. And you say, we are your friends as we keep your commandments. And you call us not servants anymore. Lord, we worship you and we adore you this morning. As we go this morning, let us keep on walking with God. Keep on spending more time with the Lord. Keep on seeking the deeper things of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eyes have not seen, eyes have not heard, that has seen inside the heart of any man. What God has in store for them that love him. But he has hinted us or revealed to us by his spirit. So grant it to every one of us. In Jesus' holy name, Father, I pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.